Shalom and welcome to Shomer Mitzvot, Torah Observant, a series on practical messianic living and apologetics. I'm the author, Torah teacher Ariel Ben Lyman Hanavi. Torah observance is a matter of the heart. It always has been and always will be. The Torah proper instructed the people of Israel to love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your resources. This is where Shomer Mitzvot begins, by loving Hashem and accepting Him on His terms. By this, I mean accepting His means of covenant obedience. For today, this means acceptance of Yeshua, His only Son, for Jew and non-Jew alike. Shalom, shalom. You're listening to Short Questions, Short Answers. My name is Ariel Ben Lyman Hanavi. Let's open with a word of prayer. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Lord, we ask that you will be with us tonight as we embark on another live internet study where we look at a topic that really is paramount of importance, and yet it can be so easily confusing, and that is this topic of the triune nature of your being, the understanding that you are very God, and yet you have revealed yourself in the person and work of your Son Yeshua, and in the person and work of the Holy Spirit, who are all co-equal and co-eternal with you, and yet are separate and distinct in their persons. How can this be, Lord? How can this mystery be explained? How can it be articulated? How can it be grasped? Lord, only by your power and by your revelation can we even begin to gain an appreciation for this very deep mystery. And yet, Lord, we can know with certainty that it is true because of the numerous examples and lessons and parables and miracles and riddles and questions and things that we observe in your words. So if we can trust what you have given to us in the eternal pages of your word, then we can trust what has been explained about you, Lord. And so we thank you that we have a privilege to study this topic and to dwell on it, and then to be able to give answers to the skeptics and to people who are questioning and to people who maybe have some doubts, even though we can't even begin to claim that we have all the answers. But thank you for this responsibility. Bless each and every student that has joined me tonight. I pray that you'll give them an enlarged capacity to comprehend truth. I pray that you'll continue to be with me as I study through this topic and explain it as best I understand it. I pray that you'll be with those who couldn't make it but wanted to. I pray that you'll be with those who will be listening to the iTunes podcasts and the YouTube videos and the reading the commentaries afterwards. I pray that you'll also, by your Holy Spirit, touch them in a special way. Protect us, Lord, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory, B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Thanks again, everyone, for joining me week after week. My name is Ariel Ben Lyman Hanavi, and I'm a congregational Torah teacher at my own home congregation, at my own Messianic congregation in Thornton, Colorado, the Kehilat Tunavah, which translates as kind of the harvest from the Hebrew into the English. And I'd love to have you come on out and join us if you are ever in the Denver area. Thornton is north of Denver, Colorado. You can go online and find all of the Sabbath meeting details. Go to graftedin.com. That's graftedin.com, and you'll find all of the logistics, meeting time, locations, little maps, and things like that. Also, by way of introduction, I'm sorry, not by way of introduction, but by way of announcements, this is a live internet study, and we meet week after week on Saturday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we'd love to have you come on out and join us for the live internet study. If you can't make it to my local congregation, well, then if you've got internet access and you've got your time on your schedule, then come on out. We're a small group, and I record the study and upload it to iTunes, and then it turns in, some parts of it turn into YouTube videos a little later on. But if you'd like, if you're interested in joining the live study where we interact with one another after the study, engage in some chat afterwards, you know, banter some questions back and forth and clarification and things like that, it's exclusive to the live study. The primary thing that you're going to need if you're interested in joining the live study is the Skype chat link so that you can get into the room. And I don't post that on the internet anywhere. You'll have to reach out to me if you'd like it. Go to my website at tetzetorah.com, TETZETORAH.com, and either click on the link that talks about the live internet study, it's right at the very top, or you can click on the link that talks about the newsletter and subscribe and become a newsletter, and that'll automatically put you in the loop to receive the information about the live internet studies. Or if you're not interested in joining my newsletter, just scroll to the bottom of any one of my web pages, click on the little icon that looks like an envelope, shoot me an email, tell me that you'd like to join the live study, and you just need the Skype link, and I'll be more than happy to share it with you, okay? So this is week number 66 in our studies, and as I mentioned to the live members at the before we got started this evening, I'm bringing the short question, short answers series to a close. And the reason being is because I've exhausted the questions that I posted to the eBible forum. I think I originally posted around 70 or so questions. And so we're at week number 66. So you can even tell by the numbers that we're within the last five. I think it will end right at around 70, if I'm correct, just off the top of my head. So where will we go from there? We'll still keep doing the live internet studies, but I haven't determined yet, by God's providence, what direction I want to go, whether it'll be a continuation of a type of a short question format, or whether I'll just open up another topical study, like a series study, or I haven't figured out what format yet. I'm still praying about that. But I thought I'd give you a heads up and let you guys know in advance that that's coming down the pike soon. Okay? All right. Without further ado, let's put a date on our recording. Tonight is September the 15th on my side of the world, 2019. As I mentioned, we're in week number 66. For all of you who have been studying this, following along with this study week after week, I say blessings to you and thank you for staying with me. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your financial giving to help keep this ministry going. And all of those things, it's just such a blessing to be able to interact with everyone who is able to meet with me week after week. For those of you who are with me in the live class, you should be able to see my screen right now. Let's turn to some liturgy. The topic tonight is not going to be deeply theological. And so we're just going to use the traditional blessings before studying the Torah. And this time I'm going to include a blessing for studying the New Testament, Apostolic Scriptures, and then I'll also include a blessing out of David Stern's Complete Jewish Bible version that you might find if you own his Bible. So three liturgical blessings tonight. The first one is the traditional blessing that you're going to find in any standard Judaic prayer book, a siddur if you own one, or if you attend Messianic congregation. You probably have recited this every Sabbath day. It is the blessing for opening and studying the Torah, plus the priestly blessing, the Aaronic benediction as well. So on my screen right now, I've got the English, and then I'll read the Hebrew. The English says, "Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves with the words of Torah. Please, Lord our God, sweeten the words of your Torah in our mouths and in the mouths of all your people Israel. May we and our offspring and in the offspring of your people, the house of Israel, may we all together know your name and study your Torah for the sake of fulfilling your desire. Blessed are you, Lord, who teaches Torah to his people, Israel. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who chose us from all the nations and gave us the Torah. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the Torah. May the Lord bless you and keep watch over you. May the Lord make his presence enlighten you, and may he be kind to you. May the Lord bestow favor on you and grant you peace." That liturgy is taken from HebrewForChristians.com, in case you're interested. It's a free Hebrew study website. Teach yourself Hebrew on the internet. Highly recommended. All right, let's take a look at the Hebrew as well. Those of you with me in the live class, I'm starting in the upper right corner. The Hebrew says, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotai v'tzivanu lasok b'divrei Torah. V'ha'arev na Adonai Eloheinu et divrei Torahtecha b'finu ufi amcha beit Yisrael. V'nihye anachnu v'tze'etze'enu v'tze'etze'ei Amcha Beit Yisrael Kulano Yodei Shmecha V'Lomdei Torateka Lishma Baruch Ata Adonai Hamlamed Torah La'amo Yisrael Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Bachar Banu Mekol Ha'amim V'Natan Lanu Et Torato Baruch Ata Adonai Noten HaTorah Yiverechecha Adonai V'Yishmerecha Yer Adonai panai velecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai, panai velecha v'yasem lecha shalom. All right, let's turn now to the blessing before reading the Brit Chadasha, or the New Covenant Scriptures, the New Testament part of your Bible. Again, same website, HebrewForChristians.com. That's Hebrew, the word Hebrew, the number 4, and then the word Christians.com. All right, the English this time says, Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed art you, Lord, giver of the new covenant. And the Hebrew says, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher natan lanu Mashiach Yeshua, Mashiach Yeshua v'ha dibrot shel habrit ha-chadasha. Baruch atah Adonai noten habrit ha-chadasha. And interesting that they bless the Lord for giving us the Messiah and the commandments of the new covenant. This is kind of in mimicking the fact that Judaism thanks God for giving us the Torah, meaning thank you, Lord, for supplying with us, for providing for us a way in which to perform duty and service to you. In other words, an outlining a way for us to live by giving us your gracious Torah. In other words, Judaism sees the giving of the Torah as a gift. In fact, that's what Judaism calls the giving of the Torah that we read about in Exodus chapter 20 of our Bibles. Some of the phrases that are used in Jewish circles when we talk about that part of our Bibles is the 10 words are called the Divrei Hayamim, the Asarat Hadavrim, the 10 words. But another phrase that's used is Matan Torah. The word Matan refers to gift or giving, the gift of the Torah. So I think it's interesting that the blessing for the New Testament is modeled after the same concept that God's commandments are a blessing to us. They are a gift to us. They are His graciousness being extended to us. They're not a burden, is what I'm trying to say. It's not like God gives us this impossible standard to keep so that He can demonstrate how weak and puny we are and how high and lofty He is by giving us these commandments to lord over us or something. That's not the concept. It's that, wow, thank you, Lord, that you've given us your gracious commandments. And so we see that right here in the blessing, who gave to us the Messiah Yeshua and the commandments of the new covenant. Yeah, isn't that cool? All right, and one last blessing. This is a screenshot of my Bible here. This is a picture out of the first, out of the inside of the complete Jewish Bible. If you own David Stern's complete Jewish Bible, within the first few pages, he has this little blessing in Hebrew, and then he's got the English translation, and I'll read that for us as well, since we're actually going to be talking about David Stern's Bible tonight. All right, the English says, Praised are you, Adonai our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all the peoples through his son Yeshua the Messiah our Lord. And David Stern kind of takes the concept and thoughts behind the traditional Jewish Torah blessing, right? You gave us the Torah. And he combines that with the idea that the New Testament contains the good news of salvation to Israel and to all the peoples, and he puts them together into one blessing. And it sends a powerful message in this short little blessing that the Bible's one unified message of God's instructions to us, which would include not just a blueprint for how to live righteously, right? The Torah and the writings and the prophets and the writings, the Tanakh, but also the Bible is God's gift to mankind because it contains the solution to the plight that mankind finds himself in, which is the dilemma of sin. And it provides a solution, which is the way of salvation for all of mankind. So mankind is locked into a room of sin, and the only way out is through the doorway of Yeshua. And so David Stern combines all of that theology into a short little blessing here. The Hebrew at the top, for those of you with me in the live class and can see the Hebrew. The Hebrew says, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech ha'olam, asher notein Torat emet, uvsurat Yeshua la'amo Yisrael, ulchol ha'amim al yadei bano, Yeshua ha'mashiach Adonainu. And that'll be our liturgy for tonight. I just want to mention a few things. Last week, I was talking about John 1:1, about how that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I think I mentioned that in the Greek, we have this Greek phrase, en pros, was with God and was with. I mentioned it that it was a genitive, and I wanted to make that correction because it disturbed me, my OCD kicking in. It's not a genitive; it was a participle. The word was within God. It was ongoing. It's ing. That's what I mean by participle. I incorrectly described it as a genitive, and this will be important for us as we're making our case for who is Yeshua and who was he prior to his incarnation. How was he with God? How was he existing with God? Existing, ing. It's, in other words, Yeshua is uncreated. That Greek word en, or ein. I'm sorry, I'm mispronouncing it. Ein, ein pros. Ein is pointing to, you know, ein arke, in this beginning. How far back is this beginning? As far back as God goes, which is eternally existing. That's what the Greek is trying to convey. And then 2 weeks ago, here's another correction I need to make as I go back and listen to my commentaries. I apologize for making these mistakes. But, and this is important, by the way, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, Moshe tells us that if we keep these commandments, it will be righteousness for us. And in the English, it simply says righteousness. But in the Hebrew, it's a form of the, it's the Hebrew word, tzedakah, utzedakah. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all these commandments. And I'm fond of teaching correctly that this is simply lifestyle that Moshe is talking about. He's not talking about salvation-based righteousness. He's simply talking about doing the right thing from God's perspective. So it's a righteous behavior. It's ethical and moral behavior. And it's also your life as it lines up with God's instructions. But to prove that that's my point, if you go back and look up the Septuagint version of the Greek rendering of that Deuteronomy 6:25 verse, the Greek word that's used is translated basically from a Greek word that refers to charity or doing good deeds or even mercy. You could even translate it that, is that Greek word. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. But it is not the same Greek word that's used predominantly in the New Testament to refer to the word righteousness when it's referring to a salvific position, which is rooted in the Greek word dikaiao, a form of that word dikaiosune in the noun cognate. So I just simply wanted to make a correction that the Greek behind the Deuteronomy passage is not from the dikaios word group of the Greek. I incorrectly stated that 2 weeks ago that it is, and so I apologize for any misleading information. All right, let's turn now to the short question, short answer topic. As I mentioned, let me fire up the video here. We're going to be, this will be almost like a mini review of David Stern's David Stern's Complete Jewish Bible. An e-Bible question was submitted, which was, what is the Complete Jewish Bible? And at the time that I answered the question, I only addressed the Complete Jewish Bible. But since then, I have begun to realize that actually David Stern put out three well-known Bible products that you can purchase. One is the Complete Jewish Bible. The other is the Jewish New Testament Commentary. And the other is now what we call the Complete Jewish Study Bible, I believe it is. Actually, there's a fourth product that he put out a long time ago, which was simply the Jewish New Testament Book of John, I think, or the Jewish New Testament originally. So maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 products, I think, that Dr. David Stern puts together. Anyway, Complete Jewish Bible, the Book of John, that's 2. Jewish New Testament Commentary, that's 3. Jewish Study Bible, that's 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 or 5, something like that. All right, let's go ahead and look at the video. For those of you with me in live class, I'll show you the video and narrate as we go. And then, like I said, this is not a deeply theological subject. It's more just almost like an infomercial. I really should be getting paid for this, right, Dr. Stern? If you're watching my video, I'm just teasing. Some thoughts on my perspective on the Complete Jewish Bible. I know a lot of congregations use it. A lot of Messianics are fond of it. And so this will be my take on that. And then after that, we'll turn to a look at our exploring the Shema study, thoughts on the issues of Trinity, week number 5. Okay, so let's look at the video first. Short Questions, Short Answers by Torah teacher Ariel and E. Bible. Copyright Tetzei Torah Ministries 2015. All rights reserved. Here is the question. What is the Complete Jewish Bible, a.k.a. the CJB? Let's take a look. By the way, the following information will apply equally to the Complete Jewish Bible as well as to the Study Bible Version and the Jewish New Testament Commentary, all of which were written by Dr. David H. Stern. You guys ready? Okay with that? The CJB has this to say about itself in the introduction. So if you have one, you can take a look at this as well. Here's what you're going to read if you were to open it up. And this information is very helpful. The Complete Jewish Bible is the only English version of the Bible fully Jewish in style and presentation that includes both the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament, and the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, or the New Testament. And at the time that Dr. Stern wrote this introduction, his was the only Bible like this. Even its title, The Complete Jewish Bible, challenges both Jews and Christians to see that the whole Bible is Jewish, the Brit Chadashah, as well as the Tanakh. It's a Jewish book. Jews are especially challenged by the implication that without it, the Tanakh is an incomplete book, an incomplete Bible, that is to say. Right? That's a challenge to them. And Christians are challenged with the fact that they are joined to the Jewish people through faith in the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. So that because Christianity can be rightly understood only from a Jewish perspective, anti-Semitism is condemned absolutely and forever. Amen. I own the Complete Jewish Bible, and while it's recommended for Christians, nevertheless, it is a paraphrase. So that's kind of a something you probably need to know right up front when you're dealing with Bible translations. Those wishing to do critical studies and are looking for a text that sticks close to a word-for-word literal translation, right? Something that sticks to the Greek, kind of word-for-word. This version of the Bible may not be for you if that's what you're looking for. That's all I'm trying to say there. But since it provides a refreshing Messianic Jewish perspective, one you might not otherwise have a chance to interact with, right, this Messianic Jewish perspective that it provides, you won't get a chance unless you actually meet a Messianic Jew, then I feel that this version is worth adding to your arsenal of Bible tools based on the Messianic Jewish perspective that it provides for non-Jews. Now, important, Dr. David H. Stern holds to a typical Messianic Jewish position concerning Torah in the lives of Christians. So if you're a Christian and you're going to buy this Bible, this is what it means. It means that he's pro-Torah, and his translation reflects this bias, right? He is pro-Torah. So that's the implication behind this particular version. It means that he does not believe the Torah was abolished in Christ like your traditional plethora of Christian translations that you're going to pick up on the market today. On the contrary, Stern believes that the Torah has ongoing relevance in the practical lives of every Christian. Isn't that interesting? The Torah is relevant for every Christian, both Jew and Gentile. Take, for example, this comparison of translations from Romans 10:4. So let's do kind of like a mini case study using this particular verse. Romans 10:4. Most of you are familiar with it. It reads, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." I think that's from the KJV, if I'm correct, or something similar. Most versions are going to translate this verse this way. But David Stern's version reads, quote, "For the goal at which the Torah aims is the Messiah who offers righteousness to everyone who trusts." Notice the radical difference between his translation and others. Now, some critics of the CJB have said that Dr. Stern's translation of Romans 10:4, and let me pull up the Greek here for you so you can also get a chance to look at it. The Greek says, "Telos garnamu Christos eis dikaiousune panti to pistuanti." And in particular, in the Greek, the word telos in this verse, which I read in the Greek, the telos, has been incorrectly translated by Stern as, quote, "For the Messiah is the goal, the telos at which the goal aims." This is what the opponents of this translation would say, or some of the Bible professors. This might be quibbling on their part, in my opinion, since teleology implies the design or the causative purposes for something. In my opinion, it's a little bit of quibbling. And everyone would agree that it surely is true that Yeshua is the goal of Torah in that sense, right? Indeed, Yeshua is the living Torah himself, is he not? Its very author and perfecter. I think all Christians would agree on what I just said there about Yeshua's role. Yeshua is our Torah righteousness in the heavenly courtroom of God's justice and truth. He is our Torah righteousness. It's not in and of ourselves. I think every Christian agrees there. He is our advocate. He is our defense attorney and our intercessor at the bar of the judgment. Again, these are all truths that every Christian would agree with. Are you wondering about Dr. Stern's credentials? Well, let's take a look at his credits from the back of the book here. Here's what you're going to find if you own this Bible or if you thumb through it at a Christian bookstore. You're going to find that David H. Stern was born in Los Angeles in 1935. He's the great-grandson of two of the city's first 20 Jews. His background includes surfing, plus a Master of Divinity degree from Fuller Theological Seminary, graduate work at the University of Judaism, now the American Jewish University, and a PhD in economics from Princeton University. So this is helpful to know that even though it's not a committee translation, right? It's put out by one person. He's bringing at least some credentials to the table, right? He's not just this guy who just made up this translation on its own without any theological background to sustain the words and choices of translation. He taught the first course in Judaism and Christianity at Fuller Theological Seminary, and at UCLA. He was actually a professor there as well. So he's not just some fly-by-night guy. Endorsements for the CJB include, listen to this list, Dr. Walter C. Kaiser, Jr., President Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, South Hamilton, Massachusetts, Jack W. Hayford, Senior Pastor, The Church on the Way, Van Nuys, California, Dr. Arthur F. Glasser, Dean Emeritus, Fuller Theological Seminary, Pasadena, California, Dr. Louis Goldberg, former Professor of Theology and Jewish Studies, Moody Bible Institute, Chicago, Illinois, Vincent Sinan, Dean, School of Divinity, Regent University, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Dr. Walter Elwell, Professor of Biblical and Theological Studies, Wheaton College, Wheaton, Illinois, and F. Lagarde Smith, author and former Professor of Law, Pepperdine University. Not sure how to pronounce that. All right, that'll do it. Check out my podcast, which is available on iTunes. Search term Ariel Hanavi in the iTunes store if you're interested. Or why don't you head on over to YouTube and check out my YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe and click the little bell for notifications. Why? Because I upload new content weekly or even daily. That's right. Okay, those of you who are with me in the live class, that'll do it for the short little video version of the study tonight. Let's turn now. We're going to get an early start on the Shema study tonight. As I mentioned in the little video about Dr. Stern's versions of the Bible, my reviews on it, my experience with it is positive. It's a great Bible to own. I've owned it for about 25 years now, I think, something like that. I've owned it, this version, and I like it. I like its style. I like its message. I differ in some places with its theology, but not its central message about the fact that I believe that the Torah is still applicable for Jews and Gentiles. And that, I think, is one of the central messages of his translation that makes it worthy of putting into the hands of every well-meaning a Christian pastor or seminarian or someone like that. Someone that you might encounter that holds a traditional Christian perspective that the law has been done away with. If they pick up Stern's version and read through it and give it an honest reading, then it's going to challenge them in that area. And for that reason, I think it's a very helpful version to own as you begin to consider the fact that God did not do away with his laws. And again, that's one of the central messages of the Messianic movement, is to try to convey to traditional Christians that the law that God gave to Israel is still relevant, not for just for Gentile Christians, but it's obviously relevant for Messianic Jews. So it's a great version to buy if that's a message that you're looking to work through. Let me close in prayer. Abba, bless your name, and thank you for the opportunity to share these thoughts with the students. I pray that you'll continue to draw us close to you through the person and work of your Son, Yeshua. Help us to understand, even though it is incomprehensible, that you are very God in flesh, that you have revealed yourself to us as deity, that you've demonstrated through not just your words, but your deeds, your actions, the riddles, the questions, that you are God. And we thank you that you demonstrated this by the power of the resurrected, the power of the resurrection as well. That no man can take your life from you, but that you had the power to lay it down and to take it back up again, demonstrating that you are fully deity. Thank you, Lord, that we can place our trust in you, that we can rely on your words, which are full of truth, and that we can continue to look to them as a source of our truth. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the praise and the glory, B'Shem Yeshua, Amen.
That concludes our show for today. It is my desire that this continuing series of teachings will assist the average non-Jewish believer or new Messianic Jewish believer in his desire to become a more mature child of God. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them. And he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. Because the Torah is written on the hearts of all who truly name the name of Yeshua as Lord and Savior, it is meant to be followed to the best of our ability. We have no reason for fear of condemnation or the trappings of legalism. My name is Ariel Ben Lyman Hanavi. The intro and outro song were written, produced, and performed by Ryan Kingsley. For more information on contacting Ryan, you can reach me by email at yeshua613@hotmail.com. That's yeshua613@hotmail.com. Or visit our website at graftedin.com. That's graftedin.com.